Good morning. Good to see y'all today. I was telling them earlier, I've done this once, by the way. I was telling them earlier that as I was preparing this, getting everything ready, I kind of feel like I'm writing some kind of acceptance speech. You know, I'm kind of talking about the past and thanking people and all that stuff. So it's kind of weird. I'm not getting any awards or anything, but at least not that I know of. So anyway, today I just kind of want to talk about a phrase that Miss Lynn, I think Miss Lynn came up with. I give her credit, Miss Lynn Barber. Forever family. I don't know if she made it up or what, but that's who I heard say it first. So we're going to talk about forever family today. But before we do that, I kind of wanted to give you a quick overview of where I came from, just so you would know what we're working with around here, what God is working with. You know, a lot of people think just, you know, when you see me that I'm, and I've always been a good dude, I've always, you know, I've been from the perfect family, all that good stuff, but that is not the case. So I kind of wanted you to see where I came from so you could see what God can do, for one, what God can use, and then also what God can do for anyone else. So we'll just kind of dig in like that. I went over last service, you know, but there ain't none after this one, so sorry. So anyway, I was raised poor. I mean, poor. And I ask you this, who has had powdered milk? Man, I like you people. First service, it's like three people. Okay, here's how poor we were. Powdered milk. I loved powdered milk. That's bad, isn't it? Watery clumps of milk tasting liquid. And I thought it was awesome. So, you know, that's what we had. You know, we had milk and, well, kind of milk. So anyway, so that's kind of what life was like. We just had what we had. And, you know, it was one of those things my kids today are like, I don't want pizza. I don't want steak, you know. And, you know, at my house, it was like, man, it's fried bologna and tomatoes. Baby, it's it or nothing. So, anyway, food. Apparently, I like food. So, anyway, my mom was married a few times. I think four. So, four to this day. I think that's the last. There's not going to be any more. But first, my real dad, he was in Vietnam. He went back twice, actually. He liked it so much. Army Airborne Ranger, a tough dude. Didn't hang around after. I mean, as people know, you know, Vietnam was a tough time. And so he kind of left. So anyway, next dad was the one I had. Well, no, I always forget about this one. There was one that was there for like 2 months. You're never going to believe this, but his name was Michael Bolton. Anybody, you know who Michael Bolton, you know? But it wasn't the Michael Bolton, but, you know, I used to pretend it was when he was cool, but now I'm not, like, no, it wasn't him. So anyway, he didn't like us kids. We were annoying, so he scooted pretty quick, like 2 months later. Then my mom married this guy who was in my life for the next 17 years. Extremely abusive to me and my sisters, physically, mainly physically, probably some mentally too. You know, and this time, I don't have a lot of memories of this time in my life. You know, and like I was saying earlier, I think, you know, that maybe God has kind of, you know, shuttered some of that. from me, because the stories I've heard from my family are pretty horrible. So it's probably best, that I don't remember most of them. They tell me broomsticks was his favorite disciplinary device. There was, like I said, there was other things, but that's what they tell me was bad. I don't necessarily remember getting whooped with a broomstick, but, I remember all that other stuff. So life was difficult. The strange thing about it was we didn't know that we were being abused. When you're a kid, you don't know anything. So we thought that this parenting style was how it was everywhere else. When you didn't turn off your bedroom light, you got beat. When you didn't do whatever, didn't make your bed, that kind of stuff. We thought that that was just how it was. It took a while before, we kind of realized that this is not typical parenting. So anyway, that all happened, and life was not easy, but we made it through and moved on. It was funny. I didn't tell him this last service, but one day my mom finally decided that she had had enough. 17 years, tough woman, but she decided she'd had enough, and we all left, like we were going to school, and he left to go to work, and then we all came back and packed everything up and just left and never went back. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, that was just something I remembered. See, it just comes back every now and then. So anyway, after a while, life went on. I got married. You've seen my wife. She's been around here. Not that kind of around, okay? She's been around here. So anyway, we got married. It was fun. Life was pretty good. We done whatever we wanted. Kind of like when you get married. When you first get married, everything's cool. You do whatever you want to do because you've grown, right? So we live in Pleasant Plains at the time, which is, small. Back in the 90s, it was 286 people. That's what the sign said, 286. So when you live in a town of 286 people, you have to go to church, okay? You just have to, because everybody knows if you go to church or not. And if you want to be good, if you want to be the right kind of family, you go to church, okay? So we did that. We started going to church, everybody liked us. We were good. Everybody thought we were cool. But on the weekends, obviously, or any other time, we done whatever we wanted to. We were just going to church, obviously, it wasn't real. About that time was, I kind of was into cars. Any dudes in here like cars or chicks, girls, ladies, whatever, sorry. Yeah. I don't do this all the time, I'm just me. So anyway, I love cars. I've always loved cars. So I started this car club, and it was fun. Man, lowriders, we were not a technically a car club. We were a lowrider club. Because, the lower the better. Our motto was, if you ain't dragging, stop bragging. Okay? That's all I'm saying. So anyway, these people were not, they were not bad people, but you can imagine the lifestyle that comes with, young men and women and car shows and weekends everywhere. And so it wasn't a good lifestyle to live. So that's what we were doing. We'd go to church, then we'd do whatever we wanted to do otherwise. So our lives were not being changed in any fashion. A little while later, my grandpa had invited us to come to church here. Back when there was Biker Sundays, they'd come, bikers would come and do this big deal. My grandpa loved motorcycles. And he wanted us all to come. And when I say us all, I mean us all. I mean, my sisters and my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and everybody, okay? So it was one of those deals that you couldn't back out of. You know, Grandpa wanted everybody to come, so you just had to do it, you know? And we wanted to do that to honor him, you know, because, you know, we may have partied or whatever, but we were still, you know, people, normal people. So anyway, we did that. We showed up, had a good time, never left after that. We've been here ever since. It was kind of weird. My wife, who'd been to, you know, small churches her whole life, come here, kind of freaked out a little bit. She didn't freak out, but it was just kind of different, you know, because there was always the stories. Have you heard the stories about us? Us, you know, so until you get here, you know, you really don't know what we're like. But once you get here, you see we're cool. This place is happening, right? You know, I don't care. I like it here. So we never left. We started hanging around. They had a drummer, and it was fun, and you know, so that kind of stuff. And Joe approached me, and he's like, "Hey, man, why don't you come and hang out with us teenagers, you know, the teenagers and all that stuff." And at that time, they were across town, different area. So I thought, man, that's cool. I can go over there and hang out. And it was good because you could have fun. You know, I don't like to come to church if it's not fun. Sorry, I'm shallow apparently, but I want to have a good time. I don't believe that God is boring. I mean, really, this dude completely created every single thing you see. He's got to be pretty cool. I'm just saying. So at this time, like I said, we were doing this wishy-washy thing, back and forth. And, you know, God started dealing with me because kind of like I shared earlier was, you know, I came to church here as a little kid, just, you know, third grade, fourth grade, and went to church camp here. And, you know, they did this whole camp about the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. And I had an experience with the Holy Spirit. And the rest of my life, even though we were partying, you know, the Spirit was always in the back saying, "This ain't right. You know, what are you doing? This ain't right." So when we got involved here, you know, the Spirit is here. And it just wouldn't be quiet, you know? So, you know, God was dealing with me about the back and forth lifestyle. And then I'm working with the teenagers, and he's like, you know, this is really wrong because you're saying you're good and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, it's around that time I ended up actually giving my life to God wholeheartedly, and decided that it was time to quit playing both sides, you know, quit jumping the fence back and forth. So, I mean, you know, whenever you change your lifestyle, a lot of times the first thing you have to change is your friends. You know, Jason says it all the time, you have to change your people, places, and things. That's true. I mean, if you want to have a different style of life, right, you're going to have to change some stuff. You know, we have to do that. So a few weeks later, I resigned from the car club, which I built. And I was telling them earlier, you know, I love that kind of stuff. I was the king of all these people, okay? It's the truth. We were somewhere in the 40s, the 50s on members. So, you know, it was a huge deal. You know, everyone asked me for everything. You know, should I do this to my car? Is this cool? Are we going to go here? And I love it. If you haven't noticed, I'm a control freak, okay? And I probably have an ego problem. But I'm working on stuff, so I'm not perfect. So anyway, yeah, Pastor had asked if he wanted the helicopter again. Pastor had asked if I wanted to do the interview thing, you know, where he'd come up here and ask me questions, and And I thought about it because I was thinking I don't have time to prepare anything, but I just couldn't do it. I was like, no, because then he'd be telling me what to do. So I wanted to be in charge. That's what I do. I just want to be in charge. I know. It's bad, isn't it? It's bad, Chris, isn't it? Let me tell you what. They was out here doing this mother-son thing, and they was putting up that maze. Did y'all see that maze out there? It was caution tape and like 50 or 60 or I don't even know how many, a whole bunch of stakes. I went out there, and they was all looking at it, and Paul was telling them what to do, and he had a map, and I went over. First thing, I went and looked at the map, and I said, no, you're in the wrong place. You need to be over here, and I wanted to take over. So I just left. I said, I'll just go, and because I'm going to do this, because you're wrong. And so anyway, I know I'm messed up, okay? I am messed up, but God loves me anyway. So anyway, all in. You know, I went all in for God at that moment. I decided that it was time to be real. You know, when I was a kid, you know, back in that, when I lived in Tennessee, one of my friends took me up in a tree, you know, like, I don't remember how old I was, 6, 7, 8, and asked me if I knew who Jesus was, and I was like, I don't, you know, and we prayed and all that stuff. But it to me, it wasn't until this moment that I actually became a Christian, because nothing changed in my life until that moment, when I actually made a conscious decision to do things different. Now, I'm not saying I all of a sudden became perfect, but you know, I made the decision. So I want to talk about forever family. You know, things that we have to do in order to make this work. You know, you come here. If you come here, if this is your first time here, you know, we consider you our family. That's automatic. Because we just, like Pastor said, we just love people here. But there are steps that you need to go through to make the best or the most of this life we call Christian, right? So the first one, this is super simple stuff, but man, it's very important. God has a plan for you. You know, we hear that all the time, but do we hear it? You know, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. That last part is so big in that verse. To give you a future and a hope. Because if when you don't have hope, it's done, right? It's over when you don't have hope. But what God's telling us here is, you know, he's got a plan. So don't give up. There's this hope that we can hang on to. This future that we can hang on to. And life hasn't been perfect by any means. You know, since I got saved and since my wife and I committed our lives to full-on Jesus freaks, it's been tough. There's been ups and downs. We've had ups and downs in our family and stuff like that. But we've always known that there was an hope that something is going to, it's going to be better. You know, God can deal with anything, right? So having hope is important, and one thing that can do that is knowing that God has a plan. And like I shared earlier, it's not a plan, not as in, you know, he didn't tell my stepdad to beat the mess out of me. You know, he didn't do that. That's not his plan. But whatever choice we make, if I choose to do something stupid, his plan can maneuver around that. Even though I done something dumb, that doesn't mean I avoided his plan. Now I get to go burn in hell forever. It means he already had something figured out. He knew I was going to do that anyway. So there's always hope. So don't lose hope. Anybody ever see the movie A Knight's Tale? A Knight's Tale? That's an old one. It goes way back, right, to the 90s. Oh, man. The guy in the movie, anybody remember his name? What is the star's name, though? What was it in the movie? Oh, come on. Ulrich von Lichtenstein? They said that like 100 times in that movie. Ulrich von Liechtenstein. Just like that. man, that was my favorite movie growing up. If you don't know the premise of the movie, it's like, it's in the Knight's Tale. So it's in the time of knights and stuff like that. And this pauper wants to be more. He wants to be a knight, you know, and be awesome. But he's poor like me, you know, back then. And so he's wanting to be more. And this movie, I identified with that because, you know, I wanted to be more. I didn't want to be the abusive father that I saw daily. I didn't want to be broke like we were, you know, that kind of thing. So I identified with this guy. His line was he wanted to change his stars. You know, he wanted to do more. He wanted to be better. And I believe that God used this movie, even though it wasn't a Christian flick from Fear Flicks, but he used it to start building that hope inside of me that I could do more, you know, that I didn't have to be, you know, I didn't have to settle for this miserable life that I was in. So, anyway, that's what I think. So the second deal here, first one is God has a plan, and the second one is go all in. Just like I said before, go all in. That's easier said than done, right? Like I said, changing your friends, man, that's hard. Changing your friends is not easy. You're a Christian now, you're too good for me. It's not like that, but, you know, we have to change things. If that person makes you want to go do bad, then you just got to change it. It's just the way it is. So it's all in. It's not perfection. That's a lot of times I'm a perfectionist. Do we have any perfectionists in here? I know a few of you freaks. I know you were in here. So it's not about being perfect. I mean, obviously, we can't be perfect. If we could, then there wouldn't be no need for Christ. But so it's not about perfection. And I come across this verse that I wanted to share with you guys. It's Paul talking about this thing, pretty much, you know, pursuing a good life, things of that nature. In essence, I say pursuing perfection. But it's in Philippians 3:7. And he says, once I thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Man, this is a pretty solid verse. I mean, this last line, for his sake, I have discarded everything else. I've discarded everything else. Everything else. Whoa. Counting it all as garbage. Everything that I can do to better myself is garbage. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Me standing up here and talking to you is garbage if Christ isn't in it. If I don't know him, if I'm not sharing from what he has deposited in me, then it's garbage. I mean, I can do the power of positive thinking, right, and think good thoughts and all that good stuff, but without Christ, that's garbage. So, man, serious, that's a good verse, man. Like I said, we put our faith in Christ, and it's not like one of those things where I decide I'm going to be all in and everything just starts happening, you know. When we got saved, or when I got saved, everything didn't just fix. You know, I still was terrible. You know, I still wanted to spend all my money on cars. You know, that kind of thing. That stuff doesn't change instantly. You know, you change your mind, start working on your mind by reading the Bible, right, and learning the right way. And we just do our best. You know, a lot of times we want to say, I need a job. So I'm going to pray for a job, and then I'm going to go home and take a nap. That's not doing our part. You want a job, pray for a job, then go put in some applications. I mean, we do our part, God does his part. So, anyway, all in, it's not easy. The third one, do something. Do something. Hebrews 10:35, this is the church verse, right? Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Go to church. Coming here is good. Don't you think? Do you think that coming here is good? I think so. It says to encourage one another. You know, it's hard to try to be a Christian without this. I mean, it can be done. You know, you can be a Christian, I haven't tried it, but you could probably be a Christian and not go to church. But it's not going to be easy. It's hard enough having people that you can talk to. You know, having people that understand how bad it is or what you've been through. You know, and that's what we can do here. You know, is be someone you can talk to. You know, share in the tough times. Because you can only grow so much sitting right here. Pastor says good stuff, right? Joe says good stuff. The truth is spoke here. But you will only grow so much if you sit here. There, you'll only go so high. Then you have to do something. You have to use it or lose it. You know, that whole faith without works is dead stuff. Here's one of my things. Don't wait for somebody to ask you. We're always saying, we need some help in the nursery, or we need help here, we need help there. Don't be waiting for people to ask you. Don't do it. When I first started coming to church here, you know, pastor didn't call me and say, hey, let's go have lunch. Hey, why don't you come over and have dinner tonight? He didn't do that. Is that bad? Does that hurt your feelings? Just asking. But what I did was, I was actually off on Wednesday at the time. I started coming up here on Wednesday on my day off. Why? Because I wanted more. I didn't know. You know, I didn't know what to do. I needed to know. But I wasn't going to wait for somebody to come and say, come here, come on, let me show you. I wanted to know, so I went. And that's the same thing with anything you do. You got to go. If you love music, if you can play, you need to be stepping up, saying something to somebody. You know, if you love hanging out with kids and teenagers, I'm sorry. But, you know, talk to somebody, get involved. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Because you'll get bored. You know, I'm a pretty exciting guy. I try to keep your attention. But, man, you'll get bored with people. If that's all you do is sit here and listen to people talk, you're going to eventually get bored, and then you're going to quit coming. I mean, it happens. Get involved. Do something. You know, then you're connected. It's kind of like, man, this is a tough subject for you, but who has an iPhone? My people. Who has that other thing? Those other things? Yes. So I got my iPhone, which it's an old one, okay? I have an iPhone 4. Sorry. Thank you. So I'm like, you know, doing whatever, this, that, and the other. By noon, it's on, what, like 14%? by noon. Watch it. So I can keep using this. Got hecklers in the crowd now. I can keep using this phone. Keep on keeping on. Just keep doing my thing. And eventually it's going to be dead. It's the same way with your Christian life. You can just keep coming in here, sitting in here listening and leaving. And eventually it's going to get dry. And it's going to run out of juice. That's what the whole charging cord's for, you know, the phone. Same thing here. You got to plug in. This is your relationship with God. It's not mine. I'm not the charging cord charging you, you know. You got to plug in yourself and get that thing charged and so it'll keep running. So, anyway, it's vitally important to get involved. I only got 7 more points and we'll be good. What? I've been here a long time. I've been here like 14 years. I got a lot to say. This is the first time I've been able to speak on a Sunday, so I'm getting it all out. So, yeah. So there's been countless people and experiences that I've been through here that has helped shape me and my family and who we are today. A big part, U-turn, the teenagers back there. I know I don't like teenagers one bit. I used to like them, but then I got one. No, she's going to sing later, and she's good. So anyway, U-turn told me that you could love Jesus and be cool at the same time. You know, growing up, I mean, if you grew up when I did, it was like, if you like Jesus, you're a loser. You know, so going there was like, really? These are teenagers and they love Jesus and they don't even care. So, you know, so that was cool. Church camp. I put a couple of highlights for each one of these, but man, the most pure worship I've ever experienced. And that was probably, I don't know, it's been a few years back. Just, man, it was just like, if you get 50 to 100 kids just worshiping God, man, like nothing else. I mean, if you haven't been to camp, you need to go. Volunteer, go to camp. I don't care if you don't like kids or not. Work in a kitchen or something, you know. Clean up something afterwards. But, man, you need to experience that kind of worship, that feeling, man. I can't even explain it. It's so awesome. So you need to do that. Men's fraternity. That's kind of, you know, kind of low-key around here. We don't get a lot of participation, but connecting with men. Men connecting, which is kind of one of those things that's kind of awkward. You know, men just don't like to talk to each other because it's just weird. But, man, we get back there, and it's like we can just share. You know, we can just talk. You know, I was telling them earlier that there's just some things. Don't let me hurt your feelings if you're a wife, but there's some things that I want to talk to another man about that I don't want to talk to my wife about. There's just those things. You know, and that's what men's fraternity is all about. We want to become better men. You know, we need to get stuff off our chest. Because, you know, it's all on us. You know, the head of the household, right? So that's what it's about, man. I found out that I had a passion for men, you know, growing men. Because today, you know, we have that problem where manhood is in decline. Would you agree with that? Manhood is on the downward spiral. So just seeing men's lives change, my own life being changed, you know, just through that helped me to see that was just something that I love. You know, I love to tell men about, you know, what God has done for me, you know, and how to do things. So, and that led for me and Joe to go to Belize. We went to Belize a couple of years in a row and shared. That's what we did. We talked to men, young men, about you know, being a real man. And that's kind of freaks me out because, you know, I'm the guy that didn't have a dad, you know, and then God's like, here, go tell them how to do it. So God's pretty amazing at that. Yep. The worship team, I've been on the worship team here for a few years, several. And I told them earlier, if you were here in the beginning, I'm sorry. I kind of just filled in for in a spot where because the drummer moved. You know, that's never mind. And man, it was terrible. I would forget where I was at in the middle of the song and just have to stop completely and wait. There you go. And I was back in. And so, you know, I've had a chance to grow a lot. Man, I love music. I love worshiping God with music. So I do appreciate that for sure. Celebrate recovery. I've never had a problem. I've never been a drug addict or an alcoholic. But celebrate recovery, you know, we think of it as drugs and alcohol, but it's really not. I mean, it is that, but it's so much more. My wife actually shared her story Friday night, which is, you know, a humongous thing that God has just done right there, man, that she got up here and just let it go, let it all out. And so, you know, if you need more God, come on Friday night. It's just like this. You know, that's what I was telling them earlier. It's just like this, except the guy that talks up here is really animated. Okay. So, and they have, yeah. And, you know, they feed you for free and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's always good to get more God. I'm trying to wrap it up, really, I am. The fourth one, the last one, iron sharpens iron. Find a mentor. We all need somebody that knows more than us, that's better than us, that's where we want to be. And it's crucial in your spiritual life that you do that. Like I said before, you can only go so far. You know, if I started doing a job somewhere, somebody's going to have to show me how to do it. I don't just know that. You know, and that's the same thing with this. You know, we need people that's been there, done that, and can help us do that. So, there we go. So, we have some amazing pastors here. Far from perfect, as you know. But, man, amazing nonetheless. A few of my mentors here, Pastor David. In all honesty, he's my dad. When I showed up here, you know, no father figure, didn't know what it was to be a man, didn't know what it was to be a Christian, much less a man. You know, and he showed me by example, you know, and instruction how to be a man, you know, how to be a Christian man and grow in that. You know, and it's kind of freaky because, you know, when I showed up here, you know, I had my ears gauged out big. I know, this is probably freaking y'all out right now, isn't it? My ears were gauged out big. I had my eyebrows pierced and stuff like that. And, you know, and he was just like, let's get this done. So, stretched me uncomfortably. You know, I would tell him I like to do something. He'd say, well, go do it. You know, I started doing the creative stuff here, and he's just like, okay, go ahead. What do you want to do? Do it. That kind of freaked me out a little bit, but I kind of liked it at the same time. Because, like I said, you know, I'm a little control freak. But, so, yeah. So that's good. You got good people here. Pastor Joe, my brother from the beginning. From the very beginning, we've been a team. And I was telling him earlier, he's Batman, I'm Robin. You know, I wanted to be Batman. Never mind. Anyway, I know. So from the old days, you know, we were at the depot. We done those lock-in things. It was all night long with teenagers in here locked in. They couldn't leave. We couldn't get away. Man, we went to Belize, like I said earlier. So, you know, we've always been doing stuff together. You know, and I've seen Joe, you know, how much he loves kids and teenagers, man. Do things that I wouldn't even thought of, you know, that kind of stuff. And just want to be closer to God. You know, I don't know, it's one of those things where when you're with somebody like that, you want to do that. You know, he's constantly wanting to know God more. And it's just like, man, why can't I do that? I want to do that. You know, but that's where the mentoring thing comes in. You have to get connected with people like that if you want to, you know, grow, man. So, and plus ministry is fun with people. If you do it by yourself, it's kind of boring, you know, and you get tired. And so with that being said, Joe needs some help back in U-turn. So if you like teenagers, well, then you're a pretty awesome person. So you need to talk to Joe about helping out back there. Who else? Pastor Jason. I'm really wrapping up. He doesn't really think of himself as a pastor, but he's here for Celebrate Recovery. And if you've met him, you know he's really excitable. He's not perfect, like I said, by any means, but man, he loves God, and he don't care who knows about it. Just excited and just on fire. If you want to get excited about your life, you know, your spiritual life, hang out with Jason, man, because he's talking to Jesus. Every time he goes somewhere, he's telling people about Jesus, asking where they go to church. You know, it might embarrass you a little bit. It's kind of freaky. He'll go to the cash register at Walmart and be like, where you go to church? So, you know, it'll fire you up a little bit. If you need things to be sugar-coated to make you feel better, do not talk to Jason. Okay? Just saying. Jason is like Celebrate Recovery. It's just raw. You know, it is what it is. We are who we are. You know, and that's what I love about Celebrate Recovery, man. It's like, you know, I'm not perfect, and nobody even cares. You know, we're just doing the best we can. So, anyway, that's what it is. So, Forever Family, I found this little quote here, and I thought it was just perfect. Family isn't always blood. It's the people in your life who want you in theirs. The ones who accept you for who you are. The ones who would do anything to see you smile. And who love you no matter what. You know, that's what Forever Family is. That's what family is here. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what we did or who we were. You know, we love you guys, and the people here, you know, the pastors here love you. So, we all need that. And like I said, my family and I have been here a long time, and you know, we've got a new opportunity, something new to do with my job. And, you know, if it wasn't for this church, I don't think I would have the, you know, the faith to even think about moving. Because for years I've said I'm not moving. You know, I won't move, and then it just happened. So we do appreciate everything that you guys have done for us. And just in case you're wondering whose fault it is, it's Kevin's fault. Kevin actually got me a job at the bakery 9 years ago. So it's Kevin's fault I'm leaving. So stand with us. We're going to worship with God one more time today. Thank you.